We've been ministering on the love of God. We ministered on the love of God for 8 months this year. I've never done that before. Very unusual. The last 3 weeks we've ministered on obedience to God. Never done that before. And so what does all this mean? I don't know. But he's doing something in our midst, and we're endeavoring to follow him and to listen to him and obey his voice. Now, if you're interested in growing in your life-giving skills, our mission here, it's really our words to the Great Commission, not adding to it, but in our own language here, is empowering people to give life. We're raising up life givers. And so if you desire to grow in your life-giving skills, you want to come out on Wednesdays. We are doing empowerment training. Started up 2 weeks ago, and we'll continue on. And we know kind of a plan for October, and I believe it'll continue in November. But come on out for that. It's something different, and it is hands-on training. And you won't want to miss it. So we've been talking about being obedient to God, to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit. To be a follower of Christ, a disciple, a life giver, it's vital that you be obedient to the written word, the Bible, and be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, we learn obedience from the word, but as we mature and grow in things, then we begin to hear his voice through the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit's there in the word, of course, and studying the word, but we begin to hear his voice about specific things in our lives. And obviously, this is easier said than done, you know. But let's look at a scripture that we had read last week, Hebrews 4, verse 12. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It's a verse, I mean, from the moment I was saved over 30 years ago, I've been reading this verse, still powerful. Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and the marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." And we need that. We need the Word of God confronting us, impacting us, because we get comfortable. Easy to get comfortable. We get lazy. We get fat spiritually. We get sluggish. We get selfish. We get prideful. We begin to think we know it all. We can get distracted, Mark 4 talks about. We can get deceived. And so there are a lot of reasons why we oppose the word working in our lives and doing what it's intended to do. But the word, it's alive. The word is full of power. It's active, operative, energizing, effective. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates to the deepest part of our being, down where our soul and our spirit are, exposing, sifting, analyzing, judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Now, there are things in all of us that need God's light. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You need God's light." God's light reveals our motives, what's really behind things, behind the veil, I guess. Now, we know from Matthew 4 that the word strengthens us against temptation. Remember that, Matthew 4? Three times Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written," when he was dealing with the temptations. They were true temptations from the enemy. Psalms 119 talks about the power of the word against temptation. You read this when, probably in Sunday school or when you were a kid, had these scriptures before you. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay pure by obeying your word? Verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the word, that powerful word, that energizing word, as it's in our heart, it's life-giving, it's direction-giving, it roots out darkness, it roots out impure motives, makes us pure, and helps us to deal with sin, because I think we all know this, sin is detrimental to your life. It's detrimental to your health. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you've heard this before, the overall problem with sin is it separates us from God. In God is life, in God is health, in God is provision, in God is, you know, everything. And sin, what it'll do is, from going back to the garden, what they do, they ran and they hid from God. Sin separates us from God. But one of the definitions of this word death here, the wages of sin is death, it means misery. And I think that's maybe kind of will help you a little bit. Sin, you know, if uncontrolled, can lead to physical death, but it leads to misery in our lives. Sin brings misery. And missing the mark, that's the real definition of sin, has consequences. Well, you know, well, Pastor, why are we talking about sin? I've been made righteous. Any people that have been made righteous here? I've got a right standing with God, right? And I understand this, but then why is it that righteous people do evil things? So, sin, we still deal with sin. We can overcome it. God's given us a way. Our nature's been changed, but we still have to deal with it. Jesus dealt with temptation. We still have selfish thoughts. Anybody here have a selfish thought this week? Anybody have a selfish thought while you've been here at the service today? We still want our way. We still want to do our own thing, even when we know the scriptures tell us something different. I'm talking about righteous people. And especially as you have been walking with God for a long time, we can start picking and choosing what scriptures we want to obey. And so your heart can become hardened. That's a Bible word. And this has always been a danger for God's people, is a hard heart. Look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, sisterin, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Well, this is today I'm exhorting you. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. And if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Our hearts can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is doing our own thing. Sin is choosing our way over God's way. Now, this word hardened means obstinate and stubborn. Hello. I'll just kind of read the definitions of these words here. Obstinate. Stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion. or chosen course of action, despite attempts to persuade one to do so. You ever done that? Tried to persuade someone who's set on going the wrong way? Stubborn means having or showing dogged determination not to change one's attitude or position on something, especially in spite of good arguments or reasons to do so. And so, stubborn to change. How many here like change? Got one hand. I see that hand. There's another hand. I see that hand. Hands are popping up. That first hand gives confidence to all the rest of the hands. Do we like to change? And I think we're living in a world of change. Have you been out there lately? There's a whole lot of change happening, and it's happening so fast. But yet we're here in the church just wanting to remain the same. Now, I'm not talking about change for change's sake, but we need to change. If we're going to reach this world, because right now, the church, according to the numbers game, we're failing in reaching the world. And so if we want to change that, we're going to have to change. Is God the problem? Is the problem on his end? Problems on our end because we're stubborn. Because we get comfortable. We get set in our ways. We think we know better. And so I hear good news with the vision, the mission that we have about life-giving and raising up life-givers. This, we can't have hard hearts here. You can really, you know, shouldn't happen anywhere, but especially here in what God has called us to do. And our hearts, you know, it's talking about, it's hardening your heart so that you don't hear. You don't hear God's word. You don't hear the truth. You don't hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's always trying to get you to go the right way, God's way. He's always trying to lead you into the truth. And especially now, we can become desensitized to God and his ways without even realizing it. We're rebelling against God. I don't want to be in rebellion. I don't want this church to be in rebellion. So I was studying something last week for the message last week, and I came across this scripture in Acts, and this phrase just jumped off the page, and it was this cut to the heart. And let me read that scripture to you. Acts 2, verse 37. And this is after the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a sermon, and 3,000 people were saved. And so this is talking about that. So Acts 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, talking about the congregation of people that were there, they were cut to the heart. Everybody say, cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. They were convicted by the message. They were convicted by the gospel. They were convicted by the good news. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, this word cut is an interesting word. It means to puncture something deeply. So it's not just the surface. And a lot of times I think, we kind of just deal with things on the surface. I know sometimes that even while I'm preaching over the years, you're kind of like, man, do I want to bring the truth deeper or do I want to just stay at the surface? At the surface, it's just a little nicer. It, you know, because if you go deeper, it's going to cause more pain. And they say that no pain, no gain. Well, I don't know about that, but so that it means to cut, it means to puncture something deeply, to slice it wide open, meaning you're exposing it. It can't hide. It's in the open. And when it punctures, it causes pain. Pain is an indicator that something's not right. If you've got pain in your body, something's not working properly. And so if you've got pain in your heart or in your soul, something's not right. So the cutting produces pain. It produces discomfort. And so that to that congregation that Peter was preaching to, their eyes were opened to their sin. They were convicted. It penetrated in a deep way. It cut to the heart. It exposed some things. And so much so, they're saying to the apostles, what do we need to do? It's not often that we do that with people, like, what do we need to do? Like, we're just open and vulnerable. What do we need to do? They didn't know what to do. And the gospel is powerful. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now notice what Peter says. After, you know, first of all, you got to be willing to hear. You got to be willing to listen. You got to be open, right? Your hearts can't be hard. But then he says, after the gospel, the word, the truth has gone forth, then he says, and you're saying, what do I need to do? First thing you got to do is repent. I think many times we kind of miss that step. Repent. And we know repent means change your mind, change your thinking, change your words. And then ultimately, true repentance leads to change in behavior, change in actions. It's not about just feeling bad or having an emotional experience. It's about actually doing something different. And so the word repent actually means to turn around and go the other way. Now listen to this. Repentance is vital for entering into God's plans and promises. Did you catch that? Repentance is vital for entering into God's plans and promises. Do you want God's plan? Do you want God's promises manifest in your life? You're going to need to know about repentance. That's how we got saved. Now, you can't repent without the help of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that draws you. He's the one that reveals things to you. And he's the one that gives you the power to change. But he's not going to force it on you. You can choose to be hard. You can choose to be stubborn. You can choose to resist. He's given us a freedom. He's given us a free will. Now, it's interesting that the message for John the Baptist and for Jesus was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We don't think about that much. But change your ways, get rid of your old ways, and pick up my ways. We've been talking about obedience, his commands. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things. He's got a way of doing things that's different than the world. And as followers of him, he's the master. He knows the way. He's the one that said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's the one that said that. So we got to stick close to him and stick close to and then listen to what he is saying. And he's giving us so much in his word. But we got to be careful about hardening our hearts or picking and choosing what we're going to obey. Second Corinthians 7. Let's go there. Everybody say, we need to change. Turn your neighbor and point at him and say, you need to change. You. Who's excited about that today? Tom, you need to change, need brother. To change. Amen, Rhonda. I need to change. I'm 56 years young. And I'm telling you, God's wanting me to change right now. And I'm having to fight some things. Fight myself, my stubbornness. And we've had all this change over the years and the history of the church. And every time it's been for my good and been for our good. But it just seems as you get a little older, you get a little more stubborn. And you kind of think, I know better. Amen, oh me. Oh something. We need to change. And certainly, you know, about our lives and our character and all of that. But we were the way we were singing today and the things that we were talking during that worship time. I mean, I could have just forget the rest of the service and just spent time in prayer. And I just felt like, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Because I feel that so strong. And he said, just wait. You need to preach the message first. Because not only do we need to change to be better people, but we also need to change so we can reach more people. I think God's got some changes maybe in our careers. And I don't want anybody to leave, but he may have change of location. He's moving things around strategically for kingdom business. And if a church like Good News won't follow, if we won't change, if we won't obey, what's the church down the street doing? It's bound in religion. I mean, they can't even get over racism. We got to change, guys. And I think maybe here's what he's been saying. We've been talking about the love of God all year. And now we're getting into obedience. We got back here about all these doors. What are the doors for? Doors of opportunity to reach more people. Yes. To bear more fruit. And it's just easy to get hardened with just life. And things that happen. And so we got to be open because the truth, if we'll be open to the truth, it'll get in there. It'll expose things. But are we open to that? Because it may cause a little some pain. It may cut to the heart. But, you know, this is not about me. And so if he's got some cutting to do, bring it on. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Woo! Praise God. Because, and really, being disobedient, we don't like the word rebellion, but that's what it is. Rebelling against God, it's never been a good idea. And so we've got to be in a place to be hearing the word. And I'm not just talking about church services or being, worship services, but exposing yourself. And that's what we've been, some things on Wednesday night, we've been kind of digging into some passages and say, okay, what does this mean for me? No one's preaching at you, telling you what to think. It's you and God. What does the passage say? Not what, some preacher said. What is it saying to me right now? And I think many of us, and I know I was, I think I was more adaptable to change early on. I was younger at 19 when I was saved. I mean, if there was just a hint, I'm studying the word, I'm praying. I mean, I was in living in a Lutheran campus ministry house. I was involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, which is an evangelical. I was attending the Catholic Church, and I was in a charismatic Bible study. I mean, I was having church 7 days a week. I was either really spiritual or really confused. I don't know, one of those two. But I was just open, man. And I'm seeing things in the Word and seeing this, and I'm doing that and doing this, and Now we make fun of the old timers that they wouldn't drink Coke, they wouldn't drink caffeine, no earrings, and you couldn't wear jewelry and no makeup, and we kind of make fun of that. Man, that was, but I tell you, the motive, now I know there was some control involved from somebody. But anyway, the motive was we didn't want to do any of these things to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so now we kind of get on this, that's a ditch. But then we get over on this other ditch. Well, I'm under grace. And we are under grace. I'm righteous. And it's like we think we can just do anything because it won't affect us because we're righteous. And so that's a trap. Yeah. So what I'm about to read, I'm about to get there to 2 Corinthians. This is the Corinthian church. These are righteous people under grace that he's writing to here. Now listen. Second Corinthians 7. He's talking about the first letter, 1 Corinthians. I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you. Do I need to write you a severe letter? I can't because it'd just be too nice. I need to get the spirit of Paul on me. I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I am glad I sent it. Because it hurt you. This is the guy that wrote in 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. Now I'm glad to send it. Not because it hurt you. But because the pain caused you to repent. And change your ways. Spirit filled. Word people. Grace people. Righteous people. Know who they are in Christ. Caused you to repent and change your ways. The Corinthian church, amazing miracles, gifts of the Spirit, out front of any other church as far as the gifts of the Spirit and the moves of the Holy Spirit. But they got into this thing where it kind of just pick and choose what they want to do. And they just got into a sexual immorality. That was one of the things. Got into a whole bunch of junk. And Paul's having to come in and clean up the mess. So he's not just talking to people that are new believers or are lost, to repent. He's talking to believers. And the word, the truth was the thing that was used to come in and cut the heart. It was the one that was came in to penetrate and to expose. And thank God the Corinthian church, they responded. Their hearts weren't hard. That's one of the questions we have to ask us today. And you know, I know there's an enemy out there trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And we're living in a world, we're living in this crazy political things happening. I'm not even going to go there. But you know what I'm talking about. Just a whole lot. The media, the entertainment, the movies, so sophisticated, the marketing. I want to show you a great program now for your iPad or your iPhone. You can look on there and find out how much time you're spending on your device. It's going to expose the truth for some of us. How much time on social media? How much time on things that matter? A lot happening, and it's easy to be desensitized to the Holy Spirit. But that's not us, right? That's not who we are. We're quick to obey. We're open. We're listening to the truth. We can handle the truth. You can handle the truth. All righty. Now I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. And that's what repentance is. Maybe that's a better word, just use the word change, and really, or the word transformation. Be transformed. Repentance leads to transformation. That's what I want to see. I want to see transformation. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have. So you are not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. And he's talking about, you know, maybe the whole thing about maybe being caught in sin. There's a pain and an emotional part to that, or maybe a regret or different things about that. But that's just maybe emotions. And, you know, you could have two people down here in the altar. One's just crying and you know, bawling, whatever, and the other's just kind of calm. That's no indicator of who's going to really change. It may be this guy right here. Sometimes there are tears, but make sure it's used to actually change. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Just see what this godly sorrow produced in you. It produces earnestness, such concern to clear yourself, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, such a readiness to punish wrong. You show that you have done everything necessary to make things right. True repentance leads to change. Genuine repentance occurs in a person's heart and mind. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit will release his power to effect change in that person's life and lead them to freedom. So we're talking, and I feel like, and again, I'm talking for me right now. I really feel like we're in a season of change. I feel like God's got some changes for the ministry coming. Already, we're seeing things. And what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Are we going to resist? Now, again, I'm not saying change for the sake of change. I'm saying change based on the truth. But how are we going to respond? Are we going to be hardened? Are we going to be stubborn? And we do that, we're in rebellion against God, not against a man. And so today, I just, we were talking about the nations. And, you know, we can just get so hardened that we don't even, excuse my language, give a flip about the nations. Who cares about them? I got my own thing going. But see, if that's the case, we're getting away from God's heart. He desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All 7 billion. And especially he cares about the 2 billion that haven't heard, never heard the gospel. He cares about the lost neighbor down the street. We're trying to give you tools, especially on Wednesday in our training, to reach those people, those folks. We want you empowered to do that and to be more effective in reaching people. And then we want not only that, we're even taking it a step further. We want to help you make disciples who make disciples, which is really Jesus' way. Amen. We're a result of Jesus making disciples who made disciples. That was 2,000 years ago. Pretty effective. Our lives are more than just getting by right now. And I know we're dealing with financial things and maybe things in our body and family, all kind of things right now. But I'm telling you, if you just continue down that road, you'll never even get anywhere near God's will for your life. You got to start thinking bigger and coming before Him and saying, "Here I am, send me." He may or may not send you to another nation, but He's going to send you to your neighbor. Send you to somebody. Paul was talking in Philippians about the reason why I'm here. He's talking about whether I should leave and talking about dying, which is great gain, he said. But then he says, no, I'm going to remain. If I do remain, it's going to be because of fruit for the kingdom, for you, for people, to change lives. He's got a plan for every one of us. He's got a plan to use every one of us. And I don't believe that our most fruitful days are in the past. I don't believe the glory days are in the past. Do you hear what I'm saying, Vanessa? I don't believe that. I believe all of this is in preparation for right now. And imagine if we have a church of people that are engaged. And again, I don't have to have everything figured out, but just that our hearts are willing and open, and whatever He says to do, do it. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if anybody here thinks I'm picking on you, I am. I'm picking on every one of you. And I hope there's, and it may not be a full-blown cutting, but I hope there's a little cutting going on today. Or just spend a moment. And ask yourself some questions. Have I gotten hardened? Have I been more on fire in days past? More excited about the nations? More excited about reaching this city in the past? Well, let's make some adjustments today. And if you'll open up your heart, the Holy Spirit will help. He'll come in and help. He'll empower you. And if you need to repent, then go ahead and do that. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you for the word of God today. Lord, this is not about us. This is not about us getting our way. This is about kingdom business today. Help us to see the bigger picture today. Lord, help us to see and get on board with the Great Commission. And Lord, if we've been selfish, we just repent of that right now in the name of Jesus. If we've been doing our own thing, trying to get our own way, Lord, we repent right now. We confess that sin right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, just pray for this congregation. Lord, that we not be hard-hearted. Lord, open up our hearts. Pray for the hearts of the people today, Father. Soften the hearts. Let the word penetrate, Father. Let the word not come back void. Prosper in the thing for which it's sent, and it's sent to bear fruit. Much fruit. Father, we desire more fruit. Fruit that remains. Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing in the earth. Making disciples who make disciples. Fulfilling the Great Commission. Obeying your commands. Lord, I thank you for this city. I claim this city and this area for the kingdom. Lord, I know we're not the only ministry following you. You've got plenty of people, believers, and ministries all over that are open to you. But Lord, we'll do our part. And Lord, if you want us to connect with others, work that out. Let us not be territorial. Let us not try to protect our kingdom. If we need to merge ministries, let's do that. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Lord, may we just yield. That stubbornness has got to go. Yield. Yield ourselves. Give ourselves to you. Not be afraid. You've got amazing things in store. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Go ahead, sister. Thank you, Lord.